Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.
BashaniRadio.com is global. You can listen on any computer or mobile device that connects to the internet. Simply go to BashaniRadio.com and click on the show you would like to hear. Then sit back and enjoy yourself with powerful and positive talk radio. BashaniRadio.com, New York City. Always talking about everything.
It's the 2017 iHeartRadio Music Festival. Over 20 superstar artists on one stage. This is your 2017 iHeartRadio Music Festival lineup. Presented by our marquee partner, Capital One. Coldplay. The Weeknd. DJ Khaled. Chris Stapleton. Lord, Kings of Leon, Big Sean, Pink, Miley Cyrus, 30 Seconds to Mars, Niall Horan, David Guetta, Thomas Rhett, Harry Styles, and special guest, Kesha. Our 2017 iHeartRadio Music Festival. It's September 22nd and 23rd at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked.
Welcome to another edition of Mr. Speaker Speaks. I'm your host, the one and only Vincent T. Edwards, better known as Mr. Speaker. Please take a moment, check me out on the internet at www.vincenttedwards.com. That's vincenttedwards.com. Topic today is a great one. Have you ever just gone through something and you didn't know what to do or how you're going to bounce back or something was very difficult in your life? Today, we're going to talk about resilience after setbacks with my guest, Dr. Gabrielle Gabrielli. How are you doing, Dr. Gabrielli?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you.
Welcome back to Mr. Speaker Speaks. For my listening audience, Dr. Gabrielli is a speaker, coach, author, entrepreneur, and educator who inspires leadership in others and helps improve motivation, performance, and learning. She is the CEO of Gabrielle Consulting Incorporated, where her clients include education, large corporations, small businesses, nonprofits, and government. Dr. Gabrielli holds a BA in communication with an emphasis in journalism from Florida A&M University. She earned her master's in mass communication, media communication, and marketing research, and her doctorate in educational psychology and learning systems, instructional systems, from Florida State University. She promotes stewardship and lives by the philosophy that life is a journey to be enjoyed. Find your passion and live it. Dr. Gabrielli, when I look at that word life, I'm reminded of something someone told me. It stands for living in freedom every day.
I love it.
Life, living in freedom every day. So with that, a journey to be enjoyed, how do you live in freedom every day if you're on a journey?
Well, I think, first off, we live in the United States, and as tough as things are here, we are pretty fortunate to live in freedom every day. I've had the pleasure of visiting 82 countries, and many places I visited, people don't have the freedoms that we do. So I think that it's a state of mind, but it's also how you choose to live your life. And I do believe that we are very fortunate to live in America when it comes to freedom, even though it's tough right now, even though it's tough.
Yeah. Yeah. And you really understand that when you've visited other places,
yes,
or other countries.
Especially third world countries.
Yes. Yeah. And I, you know, when I was in Korea, it was like, woo.
Eye-opening.
It was eye-opening. Yeah. And even Saudi Arabia,
yeah,
during the Gulf War was eye-opening.
And thank you for your service.
You are welcome. Mm. Thank you for your prayers and support.
Absolutely.
Resilience after setbacks. Define resilience.
Resilience is the ability to return to an original state, or I like to say an even better state, after suffering a setback or a failure.
Mm. Resilience, kind of like that old rubber band.
Mm-hmm.
And goes back.
Yeah.
Adversity. What is that?
Adversity is when things don't go as planned, and typically they are hardships. These can be anything from weather-related adversities, such as hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, and the like. They can be things such as losing our jobs, losing our homes, losing loved ones, suffering a health setback, anything that is a difficult obstacle.
I've often heard from especially from a coaching standpoint, I'm talking about sports coaching, that adversity or challenges don't necessarily make the individual, they reveal what's on the inside of them.
Mm-hmm.
What's your take on that?
I think that two people who go through adversity will react completely different. One will complain and say that it's the worst thing that's ever happened and not do anything positive about it. We probably have all met that kind of person. And they're not a lot of fun to be around, by the way. The other person will say, you know what? I'm going to brush myself off. I'm going to do everything I can to make the most out of this experience, and maybe even out of this adversity, opportunity will arise. And so I completely agree with the athletic coaching kind of concept that how you react to something is just as important, if not more important, than what happened to you.
How do people typically react when things don't go well? Is there some research that's been done to say that you go through certain stages? Because I know, like, when times of change, there are different stages that people go through. When people first face adversity or challenges, are there any steps or progression that they necessarily go through in order to get through?
Well, people react differently to adversity, that's for sure. So some people are really great at handling adversity. Probably people who've been through it before and gotten through it successfully are most able to get through it successfully again. So people who haven't had to deal with a lot of adversity in their lives struggle with it. And that's why I think that so often, and I hate to label an entire generation, but I work with a lot of generations in the workplace. And the frustration I hear more than anything from Generation X, baby boomers and traditionalists, is that millennials, otherwise known as Generation Y, they come in and they complain about everything, and they have high expectations, and anything that bad happens, they don't know how to handle it. Mm. Well, they grew up where everybody got a trophy. They didn't have to deal with losing. They didn't have to deal with setbacks. They didn't have to deal with adversity. Their parents gave them everything. Now, there's always exceptions, and I work with a lot of exceptions. I have interns every semester, and I've seen firsthand students of mine who are exceptions, and that's because their parents chose to let them experience setbacks and failure. But so many are have been raised to not have any of that. So they get into the workplace and they've never experienced a setback. Mm-hmm. And suddenly they're getting feedback that's maybe not positive and they don't know how to react to it. Can you imagine your entire life you've gone just no matter how you did, you've been told you're just awesome, you're fantastic. You know, here's a trophy, you're doing great.
Yeah, and then all everybody gets a trophy.
Right, everybody gets a trophy. And then you get into the workplace and the sad reality hits and you've never
evaluation is right, like, what is this?
You've never even been told, you know, you need to work on something. You're really good at this, but this is something you need to work on. Suddenly it feels huge. And so I always say this, I would never wish adversity on anyone, but it certainly makes most people a lot stronger. So you can't really say how do people react, because two people presented with adversity will react in different ways. There is a lot of research on it, but people who have resilience, the ability to positively respond to adversity, are able to heal better from chronic illnesses. They're able to get through things in a more positive way from a business standpoint. They're able to turn setbacks into opportunities. So resilience is something that you want to strive for.
Is resilience something that can be learned?
Yes, it absolutely can. Yes.
Kind of like leadership.
Exactly. Just like leadership can be learned. Yes.
When you look at people who are resilient, they've experienced things before. It's like, okay, I've seen this before. I haven't seen this quite before, but something like it, I can keep moving. Are there any specific characteristics that resilient people possess?
Yes, there are several. One is that they're positive. They're optimistic, but obviously they're not, you know, rose-colored glasses optimistic. They're positive. If they are presented with a challenge, they're not going to be like, oh man, I can't believe this. This is ridiculous. You know, they're going to say, all right, it's a challenge. Let's see. I'm going to do my very best to deal with this in a way that's going to be beneficial for everyone. They're focused. They are able to focus their energy to get through adversity and to bounce back from it. They're flexible, though. They know that they might have a plan for overcoming it, and that plan might need to be altered. They are organized. They know that organization is a key part of resilience and a key part of coming back from adversity. They're proactive. They're planning for setbacks, knowing that setbacks may happen, knowing that failure is really only failure if you didn't learn something.
Proactive, because I thought about that, having a plan in case it doesn't work. That helps them to be positive throughout the whole thing, because, I kind of planned for this.
It's a contingency plan, and some people might think, well, that doesn't sound positive, you know? So, for example, I'm a scuba diver, right? And I love scuba diving. It's a passion of mine, and I have a nonprofit organization, and I work with people with disabilities. And people might be wondering, well, now, why would you have contingency plans, thinking, well, what if this happens? What if this bad thing happens? Well, bad things generally don't happen when I'm scuba diving, but I'm constantly playing through scenarios, thinking, if this happened, what would I do? Well, when something bad happens, I'm able to deal with it because not only have I thought about it, I've actually practiced and drilled the scenario so that I know how to handle it. Other characteristics of resilient people, they're self-aware. They know their strengths. They know what they need to work on. They know where opportunities for improvement are. They're accepting, not just of themselves, but other people that are around them, what their strengths are, what their limitations are.
These are a lot of characteristics of resilient people. It appears that you can only get this after you've gone through so many challenges or trials. What about that individual that this is their first obstacle? I mean, how do you talk to them about getting through and remaining focused? It's like, I'm just going to tell you one of the first things that happened to me early on in my life. my first love just broke up with me. It was like, man, it was hard to stay focused. How do you get through that when all you can ever think about was this one person?
Yeah, I think when you're young and you're still learning, you know, maturity, you're gonna think it's the end of the world. It's just part of life is going through these things, you know, so that you learn that you can get through these things, you know. And on a much more serious note, somebody I personally know who is a really wonderful person in the community where I live, who was doing such positive things, just took his life recently. And you know, so many people, and unfortunately, this is not the first time that I've had friends and even family members who have taken this route. Sometimes, and I, you know, it's hard for me to completely talk about this intelligently, but let me just say that my whole life, I remember saying that it was a permanent solution to a temporary problem. But when people are faced with adversity and they don't reach out for help, reaching out for help is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. And so many people are afraid to reach out to ask for help. And resilient people are not afraid to ask for help. So I think even when you're talking about your teenage years and getting your heart broken, I hate to say that a lot of people resort to really drastic measures, including taking their lives, you know, thinking back to how heartbroken you were at the time. Maybe that's not something that entered your mind, but unfortunately it does with kids. And, you know, it does with a lot of people who think that an adversity that they're experiencing is insurmountable. Mm. And it's sad.
And that's the thing, you know, being able to maintain that focus. And I remember during that period of time, I had a fraternity brother who reached out to me, and that helped. And he grabbed me and said, let's go, let's do this. Let's try to get, you know, your mind off of it. It was kind of like that was my help, even though he reached out to me.
Yeah.
I didn't turn it down.
Yeah. And that's good. And maybe that's the lesson, is that you should reach out to people that are going through things, and even if they turn you down, maybe reach back out in another way, just checking in to see how you're doing. You know, do you need anything? Something so simple as that may be the difference between what kind of decision they're going to make about how they're going to handle this situation. So not to take it, you know, too serious of a direction, but truly adversity is something that so many people are experiencing, and the stress levels are at an all-time high, and the way that people deal with adversity plays a major role in how they live the rest of their lives.
So in talking about getting back to that, being proactive with regard to adversity, you never know when it's gonna happen.
Right.
It's kind of like, you know, we live here in Florida and hurricanes and all kinds of stuff, but they always tell you have a plan, get ready.
Right.
One of the things that I know you teach on is whole concept of making connections to help build that resilience. Elaborate on that, please.
So make connections with other people. And I think that really helps. Don't just communicate with them, connect with them. Connecting is something that is a much more powerful way to communicate with people. So people are just communicating with each other constantly, and they're not really making connections.
I know. It's
they're just, you know, emails are flying, and they're not really, I mean, make connections. And don't just make those connections, reconnect. I went to lunch with somebody who's really important to me. We went to graduate school together, and I moved away to New York, and she moved away out of state somewhere else. And we've kept in touch. We've stayed connected. And even when we've lost touch with each other for months or sometimes years at a time, our connection is strong enough that we just pick right back up. And the fact is that sometimes we pick up right when we need each other the most. You know, when I reached out to her and said, hey, I haven't heard from you in a while. And just reconnecting is so important. Yeah. Other characteristics of resilient people, I want to make sure I hit these other ones too. They are self-aware already.
Yes.
They are accepting of themselves. They're reflective. They take time to pause And spend time reflecting on themselves and how the day went and maybe how things are going. Maybe they meditate, they pray, whatever it is, they're reflective. They also don't compare themselves to other people. This is a big one.
Really?
Yes. So we unfortunately get in the habit of constantly comparing ourselves to other people. We do this probably from the time we're young. We think, oh, when I'm 30, I should have this. And, you know, my friends all are married now and I should be married. And this person has this job. And we compare looks, we compare height, we compare, you name it, we're constantly comparing ourselves. Anytime we compare ourselves to other people, one of two things happens. We're either going to feel inferior, which is a really bad thing, or worse, we're going to feel superior. And so stop comparing yourself to other people. Resilient people do not compare themselves. They realize that we're all individuals and that everyone has their own journey, and that's okay. And then the final one is being team focused. So resilient people have a team. They have a tribe. They have people they can count on, whether it's a couple of trusted family members or friends. It doesn't need to be a huge number of people. It just needs to be people that they count on, that they go to, who are part of their team.
And those are relationships and connections Yes. that they've made ahead of time.
Yes, exactly.
It's often been said that the only constant is change.
Mm-hmm.
How do resilient people deal with change?
Resilient people recognize that change is part of life. People who don't have resilience complain about it. They get upset about it. Right. They don't handle it very well at all. People who are resilient recognize that the change has to happen. It's going to happen. It must happen. So it is one of those things where people who are able to overcome adversity are also able to deal with change in very positive ways.
Creating smarter goals,
mm-hmm.
Helping with resilience. What do you mean when you say smarter goals?
So a lot of people have heard of SMART goals, and some people have different words for each of the acronyms, but I say specific. Your goals should be specific, measurable, actionable, realistic, and time-bound. And then I like to add to it to make it smarter, extending and rewarding. So your goals should stretch you to places you've never been before. They should challenge you. They should get you out of your comfort zone. That's the extending part. And then they should be rewarding. You should take time to celebrate the fact that you achieved that goal.
And so this would help me to build resilience?
Absolutely. Goal setting in general helps you with resilience. And think about any time you've gone through, other than maybe your teenage years.
No, you're not going to let me live that one down. It's out there for the world to see. I'm not giving any names.
But think about other times in your life when you've gone through something, maybe the loss of a job, maybe a medical issue. Think about times when you've been able to set some goals and get through those things. It really is something that helps build not only confidence, but it makes you feel really good that you're making forward progress. And so you're moving through whatever adversity you're going through, but you have positivity and you have a goal that you're working toward.
And in times of adversity, when there are dark clouds everywhere and it's raining, mm-hmm. how do you look for and find that bright light in the midst of all of that darkness and chaos?
Well, and I love how you said in with the clouds and everything, because that brings up my favorite Native American proverb, which is the soul would have no rainbow had the eyes no tears. And so often out of adversity comes beautiful, wonderful opportunities. And so we have to go through the dark clouds in order to have the rainbows, in order to have the sunshine, in order to have the really positive things. And sometimes it doesn't feel good at the time, especially in things like job loss. But also, you know, I think of people who've been through major setbacks with medical issues, and they've overcome them, and it's caused them to refocus their lives in a way where maybe they didn't have that before, and they've actually considered whatever their medical condition was to be a blessing. You know, I've had several family members who've said that you know, cancer was a blessing to them, or whatever they went through was a blessing. It's interesting, but often it takes something really bad for us to recognize what's really good and what's really important in our lives.
Those, what do you call those, life-changing moments?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Eye-opening makes you kind of look and say, well, that really wasn't as important as I thought it was going to be. How important is taking care of yourself with regard to going through adversity?
It's absolutely critical. So many people neglect themselves, especially people who are kind of natural born caregivers who are constantly taking care of everybody else. And it's like the oxygen mask on the plane. You have to take care of yourself. You have to. And you need to take care of yourself in every aspect of your life. That includes,
when you say oxygen mask on the plane,
yeah,
for those who may have never flown.
Yeah, so they always tell you put your oxygen mask on first before putting it on children or anyone around you that you're going to help. You need to take care of yourself first. And I do think that we teach other people how to treat us in the way that we sometimes take things on. And so I always say that often when we put ourselves at the top of the priority list for a change, that others will soon follow suit. I think that many times we train other people to basically, you know, no, she doesn't need that. She's fine, you know. We teach people to not make us a priority because we are giving that message to everybody that we don't really need to be taken care of, but we do.
Well, I kind of hear in your voice that we devalue ourselves,
yes.
So other people take advantage of that and they don't value you either.
People will never raise the bar higher than you will raise for yourself of value. And so as soon as you start to raise that bar for yourself, others will do so as well. And so you've got to take care of yourself. And this means every aspect of your life. So physically, emotionally, spiritually, every aspect of your life, you need to take care of yourself.
You're listening to Mr. Speaker Speaks. I'm Vincent T. Edwards, your host, better known as Mr. Speaker. My guest is Dr. Gabrielle Gabrielli, and we're talking about resilience after setbacks. What has been your experience with people who have gone through multiple setbacks, but yet they still persevere? I mean, what are they like? What's their temperament? What's their mindset?
I think of several people that come to mind, and they're all incredibly positive, giving, wonderful people. I think of a woman who was in my leadership academy who not only went through 2 transplant surgeries, but also was incarcerated and also was a victim of domestic violence. So she went through 3 major life events, and yet she's one of the most positive people you'll ever meet. She is a true leader who is constantly working to make a positive difference in people's lives. So, and I think of a lot of people I know like that, where if you didn't know their story, you would think that it was always just wonderful because they don't complain. They don't, you know, in their lives, they've been through so much. And they just appreciate every day. They have such gratitude for where they are compared to what they went through.
Wow. As we get ready to wrap up this interview, my, how time flies. What would you say to that person that's listening right now that's going through adversity or facing it right now?
First, ask for help. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't let things get bottled up inside of you, whether it's professional help or the help of a close friend or family member. Reach out. Don't think that you're on this journey alone. There's always somebody who wishes you would have reached out to them. Reach out. Next, I think that a lot of times we need to change our mindset about what we're going through. So I strongly encourage people to start writing gratitudes, three different things that you're grateful for every day, every day. So if you feel yourself in a funk, you feel you're going through stuff, and it just feels like you just the world is caving in on you, I want you to think about three things you're thankful for every day. And it's going to be hard in the beginning, but there is a great deal of research on this about gratitude and the power of gratitude on attitude and on how then it impacts your life. But write those three things down and read them back every day and make sure each new gratitude is different than the previous one. And you will see your whole life change in a positive way.
Wow. I have to take that one on. Three things.
Three things every day.
Every day. When you did that exercise, how did it make you feel?
Wonderful. And I think there's even gratitude for the pain. You know, you have to be thankful for the pain.
You bring out the preacher in me. In everything, give thanks.
Yes.
This is the will of God. Well, time has just flown away. Dr. Gabrielli, how can my listening audience find out more about you, what you do, how you help individuals and organizations and companies?
The best way is to go to my website. It's GabrielleConsulting.com. Gabrielle is spelled G-A-B-R-I-E-L-L-E, consulting.com.
All right. Well, it's truly been a pleasure having you here. And I learn so much every time I have the opportunity just to be in your presence and listen to you. And I thank you so very much for being a guest on Mr. Speaker Speaks. And first and foremost, I really thank you for being a great friend.
Likewise, Vincent. Thank you so much.
All right. You've been listening to Mr. Speaker Speaks. Check us out on the internet at www.vincenttedwards.com. That's vincenttedwards.com. Remember, in all that you do, be magnificent. Until next time, be good, be blessed, but most of all, be a blessing to someone.
Thank you for listening to another great episode of BashaniRadio.com. Make sure to like Bashani Radio on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe to us on YouTube. All of our social media connections are located on BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything.